You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are continuing with the final chapter of The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. The author proposed 4 practices for us to live an unhurried life, and we are making our way through the last one, which is the practice of slowing. Where we left off in the last episode, he was giving us 20 ideas or practices that we could implement in order for us to live a slower paced life. So we stopped at number 10. I'm going to pick up and take us all the way through 20, and time permitting, we can get into the epilogue as well. But before we get there, I wanted to share a very raw revelation. One thing I love about this show is that I'm not just here from a place teaching you. Like when I first started this podcast, man, almost 10 years ago, there were a lot of business podcasts that were focused solely on, I have reached this pinnacle of success, and here is how you can be successful like me. And one of the reasons why I wanted to start podcasting is because I wanted to hear stories and experiences from people who were in the trenches. Somebody who was on day one of starting their business, somebody who was on day 100, but still navigating the nuances and the aspects of the journey that you will only know if you were in the trenches, because I wanted somebody to identify with from where I was. And what I love about this show, now that we are talking about faith and business, is that you never fully arrive when it comes to doing business God's way. You just continue to evolve. You reach levels of success. You reach mountaintops. However, there's always going to be struggle. There's always going to be endurance. There's always going to be long suffering. That's just a part of it. And one thing I'm grateful for with this platform is the ability to navigate or articulate the emotions and the feelings at every season, so that I could provide language for those of you who are navigating your unique circumstances as well. So that's why I wanted to have just a quick raw moment before we go into the further discussions of the book. I'm in a season right now where it is unfamiliar territory, and there are a lot of emotions in this season: excitement, confusion, uncertainty, joy, like fulfillment. There are so many different things that seem opposite but are the truth of how I feel simultaneously. But the space I'm referring to is this law school journey and everything that's come along with it. Y'all know the Lord told me to go to law school. I obeyed. I just finished my first year. And now I am in a position this summer where I am working with one of the top businesses in the world in their legal department, getting experience for how the legal teams navigate these massive business structures. And it's a really exciting opportunity. With this, I've been exposed to some unique experiences because I'm a non-traditional student. I've built businesses over the last 10 years, mine and others. And so here I am, a novice in this field, and also like going from being a person making the decisions and being in charge to be the person that is learning and soaking it all in. And so that is the most exciting part, honestly, which may be surprising because I know it may be more popular to be like, I'm the boss, I don't take orders from others, or I'm in charge and blah, blah, blah. I don't have ego when it comes to this. So it's exciting because I love being in positions where I can be curious. I can be a sponge. I could soak it all in. I could be around people who know way more than me in certain areas, because that's how we grow. So I've been exposed to some really exciting experiences and opportunities, even in DC where I live, down on Capitol Hill, being around lawmakers and legislators and all of that. It's been really interesting and I've enjoyed it. But this morning I had a moment with the Lord, because one thing that I've tried to stay true to and keep top of mind is being focused on what this journey looks like for Tatum. Because when you're in a new space, you can get inundated with the culture, the way in which things have always happened, what's popular, what's trending, what the best practices are for other people. And it's easy to get caught up that way. So if you're going back to school, whether it's law school or any other school, okay, this is how you're supposed to study. This is the way that you approach class. This is what you need to do to be successful. There are these best practices from other people who've gone through it, which is useful in some ways, but we have to be mindful to not get sucked into other people's journeys and be specific and clear on what the Lord's journey is for us. And that's been something that's been top of mind for me in particular, because the Lord called me here. But with that comes some uncertainty. So I was sitting with the Lord this morning and I'm like, God, where are we going? What's the plan? Because I still don't have the big picture. And I'm saying this because there's somebody where the Lord has called you into something new. It's scary. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like it's the right time for it. Maybe you've even already said yes to the thing, but as you're doing it, you're waiting for like that big picture. You're waiting for that thing that makes you comfortable with it, or that thing that makes what the Lord is calling you to do make sense. And because you don't have it, it might be causing you strife or despair in some type of way. You may be upset. You may be stressed. You may be second guessing yourself. You may be second guessing the Lord because you don't understand the big picture and why he has you here. So you're looking for that blueprint or that picture, that glimpse at the promised land to encourage you to keep going through. And I found myself there this morning. I'm like, God, I've been obeying you. I've seen the ways in which you've been moving. I've been enjoying this journey, but like, where are we going? Because I know that if you show me the big picture, that will help me feel a bit more secure in this and more confident about how to move forward and navigate these different experiences. And so the Lord was like, I'm not trying to make you comfortable in obeying me. I'm intentionally not showing you the big picture because I'm trying to rob you of your self-sufficiency. Because if I was to show you, okay, this is the blueprint, this is the promised land, here will come your ambition, your drive, your self-sufficiency that's going to apply, and you're going to apply it to what I showed you. So I'm intentionally keeping you uncomfortable in order to make sure that you remain dependent. So all of the beauty of what will happen and how this is going to unfold and why I have you on this journey, it will unfold as you continue to be obedient. But all you need to focus on is staying connected and abiding in me. And everything else that unfolds will be an outcome of that connection. It will be an overflow from that connection. And I laughed to myself because I'm like, Tatum, this should not be surprising to you because this is how you always done things with the Lord. This is how he's always ordered your steps. When you started your business, when you started this podcast, everything that you've done has been from a place of obeying the Lord, feeling uncomfortable, and is seeing the fruit of that obedience repeat. That's been the whole process, the pattern from the beginning of doing life and business the Lord's way. So I laugh at myself because I asked what I'm going to say is a stupid question. It wasn't stupid because it was honest, but it was a silly question because this is how the Lord has always done things with me. And I share that because I want to provide language to somebody who may be feeling the same way that I was. Like, God, help make it make sense. Like, it just feels like I see your hand in it. I see that you're here. I know that you're moving. I'm enjoying the process. But can you show me, give me a little peep into what's to come? Can you give me a little look at the scroll, please? But the Lord wants you to know that for those of you who may feel like he's quiet, that he's not speaking to you, and that the enemy is using that to cause all of this uncertainty and the discomfort is making you second guess your obedience, I want what the Lord said to me to resonate with you as well. All you have to focus on is being connected with him. All you have to focus on is abiding in him, in obeying what he shares with you, and through your obedience and through that dedication and dependency, you'll start to see things unfold. And over time, it'll start to make sense. So I don't know who needed that, but I wanted to share that because I know that that wasn't just for me. All right, let's pick back up with the 20 practices that we can implement to live a slower paced life. And I believe that us implementing these things will help us in abiding and staying connected to the Lord, because we're disconnecting ourselves from all of the hurry that consumes our lives. A quick recap of 1 through 10. Number 1 was drive the speed limit. Number 2, get into the slow lane. Number 3, come to a full stop at stop signs. Number 4 was don't text and drive. Number 5 was show up 10 minutes early for an appointment without your phone. Number 6, get into the longest checkout line in a grocery store. Number 7, turn your smartphone into a dumb phone. Number 8, get a flip phone or ditch your cell phone altogether. Number 9, parent your phone, put it to bed before you and make it sleep in. And number 10, keep your phone off until after your morning quiet time. If you want to hear my thoughts and opinions, because I had a lot of them on any of those, make sure you listen to the last episode. Now, picking up with number 11, he says, set times for email. I don't know how many of y'all like me who checks emails all the time. I don't have notifications for emails on my phone because my phone usually notifications are off for most things. But I do check my emails often, whether it's my business emails, my personal email where all my family stuff is, school emails. Like, I check all of them way too often. And honestly, it's not even the best choice because you might forget to respond to such stuff because let's say you got an email and it requires you to research something or find something that you don't have access to in that moment. You may forget because you don't already looked at it and attempted to answer it but didn't finish. Now it gets forgotten about. There have been plenty of times where somebody has asked me for something via email, but then I forgot. I checked the email, so it's no longer there, but I didn't get around to doing it because I couldn't answer it in that moment. Or let's say an email just requires a lot of thought and energy, or it upsets you in some type of way. Now, that's robbing you from the ability to stay present in whatever it is you have going on, because now you're agitated about whatever you just read. So I am with him on set up times for email because I've done it wrong for a long time and can easily see why it's not beneficial. So he says, do not have email on your phone. Do not glance at it when you get a free moment in the elevator or in a boring meeting. Do not answer random emails throughout the day. Instead, set a time to do email and stick to it. He said, figure out what works for you. Most experts recommend that you don't check email more than twice a day, say 9 o'clock and 4 o'clock, at the beginning and near the end of your workday. Each time, take your inbox to zero if you can. If there is a task, don't leave it hanging in your email chain. Get it on a to-do list for later. He says, unless you're an executive assistant or some kind of job that requires constant email vigilance, this will save you hours each week. Number 12, and we don't even have to belabor this point because we know, set a time and a time limit for social media or just get off of it. Now, number 13, I don't necessarily agree with. I don't know what this man has against Netflix, because there's been a few times throughout this book that he's talked about his disdain for Netflix binging or whatever. But I don't necessarily agree with number 13 that says kill your TV. He says, even more than social media, TV and its sibling, film, consumed the lion's share of our so-called free time. For the average American, that is over 5 hours a day or 35 hours a week. He says, no, it's lower for millennials, and that's only because we spend so much time on social media. It's the one addiction for which binging is socially acceptable. People now have Netflix days where they blow an entire day or weekend on multiple seasons of the latest streaming phenomenon. It's like a Sabbath gone horribly wrong. Now, I'm an introvert. I disagree with this because I'm an introvert. I'm somebody who enjoys solitude, alone time, and I need it in order to recharge. So if I'm watching a show, I also like a good show because it's like getting into a good story. There's a reason why so many great novels are turned into television shows or movies because they're great stories. So I don't agree with him here. And I know I like to get into a good documentary. There's so many options as far as what you can watch on TV. You can watch Christian-based films and movies that allow you to see the goodness of God in a different format from a book or just the Bible. You can see the story play out on screen. The Chosen is an excellent show, and it's Christian-based, talking about the life of Jesus. My son watches a show called Superbook, and it's about the Bible. It's a cartoon for kids that is about the Bible. And so he watches that at home in his spare time. I watch different documentaries to learn about different things that's happening in the world, or do a deep dive on subjects that I may not know about. I love to watch comedy shows, things that make me laugh, or a good TV show that I could watch with my friends and we could kiki about. Like, there's community that happens around shows and movies and all that. So I don't know. I'm a TV watcher. I like a good show, obviously. So I disagree with him here because I don't see it as a time waster. But he makes the point of how it fills your mind with things that are contrary to the word. He says, if you fill your mind with fornication and wildly unrealistic portrayals of beauty or romance and sex or violence in the quest for revenge or a parade of opulent wealth, what do you think that will give to your soul? Honestly, there's very little I can watch as an apprentice of Jesus. Central to Jesus' vision of human flourishing in a lust-free life, the Sermon on the Mount, I'm all for art and even entertainment, but there's very little cinema I can watch that does not incite lust, along with the parade of its ruinous friends. Since the 1920s, Hollywood has been the vanguard of the enemy's quest to degrade sexuality and marriage and desensitize our society to sin. Why make it easy for him? Occasionally, I walk away from a film or a show with a sense of wonder, awe, sobriety, or even wisdom, but those moments are rare. I understand what he's saying, and I totally agree with how the enemy has overtaken Hollywood in a lot of movies they produce are garbage. It does desensitize us to sin. And I think that there are just so many more options now. And I forget what year this book was written, but there are so many more options, especially with the opportunity for independent filmmakers and creators who aren't necessarily in Hollywood to put out good content. This episode is brought to you by IXL. Summer break should be fun, yes, but it's also important to keep young minds active. IXL helps kids stay engaged and avoid losing progress between school years. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and help kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Y'all know, y'all been listening to this for a while, I am an IXL girl. I am an IXL mom, and it is a requirement in my house. My child right now needs to stay sharp. We don't play that backsliding during the summer. No, he has to stay sharp, reviewing those key skills and building confidence in those challenging subjects. Studies show that kids who use IXL score higher on tests, and that's proven in all 50 states. IXL adapts to each child's level, pace, and learning needs. You save time and money. One subscription covers everything, pre-K through 12th grade for all the kids in your home. And 1 hour of tutoring can cost more than an entire month of IXL. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite. They say that every day your business is late to AI, you fall 2 days behind. But how do you keep up? The competition is only moving faster. Fortunately, that's NetSuite Next. You probably know NetSuite, the AI-powered business management suite that securely connects all of your data. It's a unified suite that brings your financials, inventory, commerce, HR, and CRM into a single source of truth, trusted by over 43,000 customers. NetSuite Next is the next huge leap in how business gets done, because AI is built into everything that you do. It automatically surfaces custom insights throughout your day. AI agents work alongside you to solve problems and handle routine work. And anytime you have a question about anything, ask, just like you're having a conversation with a colleague. NetSuite is customized for a wide range of industries, so it supports the way your business truly works. Whether your company earns millions or even hundreds of millions, it's time for NetSuite Next, where your business meets AI. If I needed this product, this is exactly what I would use. For the first time ever, you can try NetSuite Next for free. If your revenues are at least in the seven figures, go to netsuite.ai/blessed. Built for every industry, ready for every boardroom. netsuite.ai/blessed. This episode is brought to you by Super.com. You know that feeling when your credit score quietly gets in the way? A declined card, a loan that costs way more than it should, is frustrating. And for a lot of people, the problem isn't that they're bad with money, it's that the system just isn't giving them credit for what they're already doing. That's why I want to talk about Super.com's credit building program. With Super Plus membership, you get access to the Super.com card. And here's the part that I love. It gives you a $5,000 credit usage boost. This isn't money that you spend. It's reported to the bureaus as available credit that you're not using, which can lower your utilization ratio and move your score in the right direction. You can also report your on-time rent payments, including up to 2 years of past rent, to all three major credit bureaus, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. The biggest bill that you pay every month can finally start working for you. No hard credit checks to apply, 0% APR, and you can track your progress right inside the app. Start building your credit the easy way. Go to super.com/credit right now to see how Super Plus can help you boost your credit score. That's super.com/credit. Credit building features are only available to the Super Plus members. Impact on your credit score may vary. Super.com cannot control factors outside of their services that may impact your credit. Visit super.com for more details. Also, there's some individual implications here too. If you know you deal with lust and something incites that in you, cut it off. If you know that you struggle with greed or gluttony or whatever, and you're watching something that brings that up, cut it off. But I think to say kill the TV altogether, I don't agree, but TV is not something that brings me to a place where I'm outside of abiding in the Lord. So that's just my personal opinion, just like number 13 is his personal opinion. And so for you thinking about how to live slower, just have that self-awareness and self-assess how you should go about applying or not this one. Number 14, I 100% agree with. It's single task. He said, I've come to realize the obvious. Multitasking is a myth. Literally, only God is omnipresent. I inhibit a body that can only do one thing at a time. Multitasking is just sleight of hand for switching back and forth between a lot of different tasks so I can do them all poorly instead of doing one well. It is well documented that multitasking is ineffective. You can Google statistics on multitasking and see so many different studies that have been done about how it is impossible. You cannot successfully do multiple things well at the same time. We cannot do things well successfully when we multitask. Something is going to be done poorly. As he said, pretty much everything you're trying to do at the same time is going to be done poorly. We are more effective when we focus. In my book, The She Is Uncompromising, I have a chapter on multitasking versus multiplying. And I talk about how a lot of busy people, we do try to multitask in a sense of being efficient and getting more done. But we as Christians serve a God who multiplies. And so the formula that I taught before, the God Math formula, if we focus on consecration plus concentration, the Lord will multiply our efforts. And this is something that we have to be very intentional with. I know I do. I naturally try to do multiple things at the same time. And I have to consciously realize that I'm doing it and stop it. So I'm telling you from experience, this isn't something that we're going to fix overnight. But this is one of the practices or tips that he's given us that I want us all to put on our list. A lot of these just take it or leave it, their ideas. This one, put this one on your list as a non-negotiable single tasking. He says, one of the best ways to slow down your overall pace of life is to literally slow down your body. Force yourself to move through the world at a relaxed pace. I think that's a good one. Number 16, I love this idea. Take a regular day alone for silence and solitude. He says, I take a full day once a month to be alone. Again, not legalistic. Sometimes I miss, but usually I wake up early. If the weather is good, I head out to Salvi Island, a 40-minute drive up the river. In the winter, I book a room at a local Trappist Abbey, whatever that is, just me and the monks. It's a slow, easy day full of reading and praying, and yes, occasional napping. It's Sabbathy, but a bit different. It's my time to center, check my pulse, see if I'm actually living the way that I want to live in line with my convictions. I look back over the previous month, check the schedule of the month ahead, pull out my life plan and annual goals, track my progress, journal the ways I sense God coming to me with his invitations. I absolutely cannot express how much the practice of a monthly day of silence and solitude is formative for my person. Yes, I'm an introvert. I guess most people aren't. Yes, I'm a pastor. I have semi-flexible hours. I get that. But I think it's wise for all personality types and far more doable than most people realize. I wish more people did this. I wish young moms did this while dads watch the kids for one Saturday a month and vice versa. I wish college kids did this to keep from getting sucked into the insanity of university life where mental illness is at epidemic levels. I wish business people did this to make sure the balance sheet of their lives looked even better than the one at their company. I wish creative, spontaneous, type P on Myers-Briggs, anti-schedule people did this to keep their beautiful, precious, short lives from wasting years on ephemeral distractions. I wish you did this. You can. Yeah, this is something that I'm sitting with for sure, because I'm somebody who definitely needs the silence and the solitude. A way that I do this on a much smaller scale that is very helpful for me is slow mornings. Same concept here, but of course in way less time, but just starting the day at a slow pace versus starting the day reactive is something that for me has like a night and day difference for how my day goes and how I feel and if I'm rushed or not. So even if you can't carve out a full day once a month, or a weekend or whatever, definitely take some time to have a slow morning or have a quiet evening, whichever makes the most sense for you. I know I'm trying to get to the point where every quarter I have like a staycation or some sorts. That's something that I definitely want to implement. I just got to figure out the logistics of making it work. But this is something I want you to definitely sit with and think, even if I can't take a day a month, how can I still practice this in a way that's realistic for me? Number 17, I think we all do this, take up journaling. I don't journal a lot, just enough to keep focused and justify a moleskin on my desk. Bare minimum at my monthly silence and solitude day, I write up any key developments from that month, any dreams, prophetic words, or senses of direction from the Holy Spirit. This slow, cathartic, act of writing your life down is grounding, a tether for the soul in the hurricane of the modern world. If you don't like to write, keep a vlog or a voice note journal. I think that's a good idea. Or just sit and process your life with God. The point is to slow down long enough to observe your life from the outside. As the Greek once said, the unexamined life is not worth living. I love that he gave the idea of doing a vlog or a voice note journal if you don't like to write, because it still keeps the point of the exercise, but in a different format. And you can also then take those and use a different, like an AI tool or something, to transcribe them to have like a digital diary, so to speak. And that could be helpful as well. So that way you still have the text version, which may be easier to search different prophetic words or downloads that you may have got to be able to go back and reference them. So adding that to what he said. Number 18, experiment with mindfulness and meditation. Again, mindfulness is just silence and solitude for secular society. It's like prayer minus the best part. And there are forms of Jesus mindfulness from the contemplative tradition. On days when I can't focus and my imagination is running naked all over the place, which unfortunately is common for me, I take a few minutes and just focus on my breathing. Very basic, I watch my breath go in and out. Then I start to imagine myself breathing in the Holy Spirit and breathing out all of the agitation of the day. I turn my breathing into a prayer, inhaling the fruit of the Spirit one at a time. Breathe in love, breathe out anger. Breathe in joy, breathe out sadness and pain. Breathe in peace, breathe out anxiety and uncertainty for tomorrow. Breathe in patience, breathe out the hurry of life. Even better than practicing mindfulness is the next step into meditation, another ancient Christian word that has been co-opted by the New Age Renaissance. But don't think namaste, think Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who meditates on his law day and night. In the meditation of the Hebrew Jesus variety, you don't just empty your mind of the noise, chaos, anxiety, etc., but you fill your mind with scripture, with truth, with the voice of the Holy Spirit. I can't put into words what meditation does for my soul. Tim Keller, however, can. Persons who meditate become people of substance who have thought things out and have deep convictions, who can explain difficult concepts in simple language, and who have good reasons behind everything that they do. Many people do not meditate. They skim everything, picking and choosing on impulse, having no thought out reasons for their behavior. Following whims, they live shallow lives. In a cultural moment of shallow, mindfulness and meditation are a step towards the deep waters. I've told y'all before that for me, what he's calling mindfulness, something I do is I engage all my senses. This is something I learned in therapy that helps me slow down. So I pay attention to, what am I tasting? Is it the mintiness of the toothpaste I brush my teeth with? What am I feeling? I might touch something that is fuzzy or even just my clothes and just feel it. What am I smelling? Am I smelling the neighbor that's barbecuing the smoke from their grill? Am I smelling the vanilla from the fragrance that I'm wearing? Just intentionally engaging what I'm smelling. What am I hearing? What am I seeing? All of the senses, engaging all of them is a great mindfulness exercise to get you out your mind, out the chaos that may be going on around you, and into your body. Something else that I think is good for even the meditation, I like to listen to prophetic instrumentals. Dappy Keys is one of my favorites, where I go on either his YouTube, and on his YouTube in particular, he usually has scripture on the screen. So if you do this on his YouTube, just have your Bible with you and turn to whatever scripture comes on the screen. But I also listen to it on like Apple Music or whatever, and I just let it play. And I think about scripture. I meditate on scripture. I may open my Bible and go to certain points and read from there. But that prophetic instrumental for me always helps to just calm myself. And this is why, quick sidebar, it's important that no matter what your talent is, that you do it for the glory of the Lord. Like, this man just be playing the piano. But there, the Holy Spirit uses him in such a way that I recognize God's presence whenever I cut on his music. I pray that whenever you cut on this podcast, no matter what I'm speaking on, you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit where you know that his presence is here. So mindfulness and meditation, I think, can be beneficial for all of us. But remember, not the way in which the New Age world has co-opted it, but the way in which the Lord intended for us to do so. Number 19, this is self-explanatory. If you can, take long vacations. I think none of us will argue with that. And then lastly, number 20, cook your own food and eat in. This is something he does with his family. I don't think that this is something that will work for me with slowing down. But he talks about how fast food is fast, not food. Real food takes time. And now his family eats like a plant-based whole foods diet. There are plenty of the opposite of eating at home is not fast food like that. I think that's like my core problem with a lot of his points in this book is that there's no acknowledgement of like the nuance or in a holistic look at stuff. It's either this or that. It's either cut your TV off or only watch sinfulness. Like, bro, there's other options. Same here. Either cook at home or fast food, or you can go to a nice restaurant. You'll still have whole foods. You didn't cook it, but like, order chicken, rice, and vegetable. There you go. But whatever. His point, though, is that eating at home brings like the community and all of that. So if that's your portion, cook your own food at home and eat in. If you're somebody like me who has a diverse palate, I like to try different foods. I'm a foodie, so going to different restaurants and all of that is something that brings me joy. And even being a foodie with my family, like for my birthday, I went to this Asian restaurant where they do like all you can eat small plates. And I love it because I can try different things as part of the package. And so I went there with my family for my birthday. And now my son loves that place. He always requests to go. And I took him with me one day. I took him with me to school. And I wanted to expose him to law school because I believe that he'll definitely be a lawyer. And so afterwards, we went to that restaurant and he eating his sushi. We're talking about the different things that's in the sushi. I introduced him to Wagyu. So now he likes Wagyu. Like it was a fun experience for us to try new foods together and to watch his palate evolve. So same concept of what the author is talking about with eating in. We just ate out. But for budget purposes, we all should cook in this economy, child. But whatever the case is, if it fuels mindfulness, slowing down, being present and exhibiting what it's like to be an apprentice of Jesus in your life, do it. Whether it's eating out or eating in, just do it. So those were all 20 ideas. He even says here, these are just ideas. They may not be for you. That's cool. As y'all can see, I objected to a few. Come up with your own list, but come up with a list and then do it. There's more to life than an increase in speed. Life is right under our noses, waiting to be enjoyed. We must ruthlessly eliminate hurry, and that's best done gainfully. So we have reached the end, my friends. He does have an epilogue, and I originally planned to talk about it because it's really good and it's a few pages, but I think it just drives home the point that we're all clear on, and it's that we need to eliminate hurry from our lives. And so he ends with Paul's message in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 10 through 11. We urge you, brothers and sisters, to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. So that is it, y'all, for our last book club pick. I pray that this book has blessed you. I don't know what book we will read next. I'm still thinking about it. I kind of want to go to a business book because all of our books have been about Christian leadership and lifestyle and things. I want to go for us to read a business book, but I'm trying to find one. So we'll see. Thank you all for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. If you are on my email list, look out for an email from me. We're ending another quarter, and quarterly I like to do our mailbag episodes. So thank you so much for listening to another episode. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.